have a set of cards in front of me. Now, this could be fun. This could go anywhere. So I'm going to ask both of you a question before we get started. What I need you to do is I'm going to pick this card and you have to complete the sentence. First thing that comes to your mind, bear in mind this is potentially a PG program. What people don't understand
is that I'm really smart.
Do you know what? That is very true. And I actually didn't know that until I saw your IQ test because I was questioning your intelligence before that. All right, Matt, this is for you. I'm not really
small.
You know, as soon as I read that, the first thing that came to mind was your height. I'm sorry. All right, now do I get a turn two?
Of course you do. Okay.
I want to kind of flick through the cards to find
one. No.
It's got to be random.
When I'm tired,
all I want to do is sit back in front of the TV and watch Vikings of Valhalla. Today we're joined by Boris, which is Julie's dog. Oh, hey, Julie, this is the first time that we're recording in person and we're at your home, this beautifully renovated home, by the way.
Sanctum Homes.
Your builder must have been amazing. Mm. And we are about to head into winter. Now, I know personally, whenever there's a change of the seasons, my moods change. Mm. Could you maybe psychologicalize that for us and tell us the reasons why we find changes in our mood as the seasons change?
It's probably good to make a distinction between like winter blues and a thing that we call seasonal affective disorder. Mm-hmm. So winter blues, we definitely notice it where, you know, your energy dips, your motivation's low, sometimes you can get a little bit snappy, those types of things. And there's a couple of reasons for that. So in winter we tend to get less time outdoors. We tend to sort of kind of wind down. If we think about back when we were in caves, you know, we would have actually been spending quite a bit more time inside.
Yeah, let's just go with the whole Boris thing because he's enjoying it.
He's having a great time.
Yep.
And so you feel flat and unmotivated. Yep. It's not full-blown depression, but you definitely kind of feel yourself
so it's
sort of
actually a thing.
Down.
Winter blues is a thing. Yeah, it's not like it's just this terminology that's being made up. It's actually
it's
proper condition.
That's right. Because like if we think about sort of seasonally, we go through ebbs and flows of how we feel and the activities that we take place in. A clinical condition is seasonal affective disorder, and we'll definitely see for some people, if they have this particular kind of makeup, there'll be an increase in their mental health symptoms. So sometimes if somebody's got a background of anxiety or depression, they might be more susceptible to that. But definitely there's a really clear research that shows the further away from the equator, where we get lots of sun, if we get less sunlight, we have people that are more susceptible to that seasonal affective disorder. So whether we're talking winter blues on one end, where we just feel a little bit flatter, right through to we start to have some clinically significant depressive symptoms.
Do you see a pretty big spike in the amount of people that come into your practice in the winter compared to the summer?
Most definitely. I often say to people there's two spikes. There's pre-Christmas. Yeah. Because that's lots of sort of interpersonal family type conflict where people are wanting to come in and either talk about things because they've got upcoming family interactions that are going to be challenging, and winter, because there's absolutely a spike in depressive symptoms through there. So if you look at my calendar, they're the two absolute spikes. So it's harder to book people in over those periods of time.
So you've talked about in the past, and we actually touched on this with Nick for the push-up challenge. We had him on. He talks about, some of the things about mental fitness and what you can do to improve your mental fitness. And, you know, he talks about connections. He talks about physical exercise. He talks about purpose. He talks about being outside. These are all of the things that you've talked about in the past. And if you think about winter, cold, rainy, it doesn't stay as light for as long. We're probably cooped up inside more. Yeah. We're not able to hit some of those points that are helping our mental fitness. Does that contribute to the winter blues as well?
Yeah, most definitely. So seasonally, when we get less light, we also make more melatonin, which makes us sleepy. And the other thing that
is that during when there's less light?
When there's less light, okay. Yep. And the other thing that we find is that our serotonin can drop. So there's absolutely physiological things that are going on.
And both of those are due to sunlight, natural light?
Yeah, absolutely. And so being aware of these things means that you can start to have some different strategies. So if you're a runner, for example, and you're not super keen on running in the rain, then you want to try and prepare for something so you're able to, you know, keep your exercise levels up and not just completely shut down over that period.
It's hard because you can't pick the weather. Like you could have 4 or 5 days of rain in a row.
Yeah.
And trying to plan, for example, it's a good analogy with the runner. Like you can't pick when it's going to work for you.
Mm.
Especially if you look at trades, for example, most trades aren't going to get up at 4 a.m. to go for a 45-minute run to be on site by 7. So the time of window that they can actually run is quite condensed into the afternoon.
Yeah.
And it's dark and cold by then.
I'm trying to think about this like from an evolutionary point of view because, you know, obviously this is we're talking about our current, you know, modern life.
Yeah.
Like what does that look like from from a caveman, like the caveman, you know, they're not sitting there going, oh, well, I can't go for my run this morning because it's dark outside. Would you think that the impacts of modern life are having a bigger effect on it, or do you think that this would have been a thing back then as well?
Yeah, it's interesting. It would have been a thing back then as well because if you think about ancient tribes, there's two strategies that would happen during winter. So one would be that people would migrate to a different climate, which we can't do. So I can't pick up my house and, I mean, I'd love to pick up my house and move it to Noosa every winter. That'd be a cracker.
Shouldn't we just buy a house in Noosa?
Let's do that.
Yeah.
And the other thing that would have happened is that when we think about mammals preparing, like a bear is like an extreme example, but a bear actually sits out the winter. So they stock themselves up and then they go hibernate. So that's at the extreme end. But in a historical perspective, we would have been in our cave a lot more. We probably would have had stocks and storage if we were able to, or if we were in a tribe that could relocate, we'd just get out of the weather. I mean, Indigenous Australians have been doing that forever.
And I think the reason why I asked that is because I guess it's for me just trying to understand that it's not just a modern thing, that it's actually a thing that's sort of in our makeup anyway. And, you know, if melatonin and serotonin is proven to drop when there's a lack of sunlight, are there artificial ways for us to melatonin increases and serotonin drops.
Uh-huh.
Are there ways for us to manage those two chemicals within our body?
Yeah, most definitely. So one is getting light early. So upstairs in my room I have a 10,000 lux light that mimics a sunrise for me. So it comes on at the moment. It starts getting – it basically mimics sunrise. So my body or my brain thinks that I'm experiencing a sunrise. It comes on at 5 at the moment, and by 5:30 my bedroom is like brilliantly light. And that's a really
– so different to the way I've just discovered sleep masks.
Oh, yeah,
so it blocks out all the light. And I've seen a dramatic increase in the depth of my sleep from like completely blocking out any light.
Yeah. Are you tracking your sleep?
Yeah, I do actually a fair bit.
Yeah, it's one thing that I've, you know, one of my other favourite podcasts other than this is one, of course, is Diary of a CEO, and he talks about
tracking sleep
and it's something that I'm...
I've got about 8 months of data now, but I don't want to look at it until... I'm probably about 6 months post first child. I actually want to see the difference.
That's a great idea.
Because
you know what? I'm just going to give you some advice, and that's not what we're talking about. The first 2 or 3 months of you having a kid, you're going to think that you are awesome and your kid is awesome, and you're going to be like, oh, it's sleeping and feeding.
And you
watch that shit get turned on its head like that.
Yeah, I know. It's I sleep probably 7 hours a night. If I don't get 7 hours, I really struggle to function.
Yeah.
And I know that is something that's probably going to have to change somehow.
Julie, so this light that you've got, I wake up naturally at about 5:30 and I actually think that it's probably because I've trained myself to do it. So I get up 5:30 and then I go and work out. And I'm even on days like weekends when I know I can sleep in to like a 6:30 or something, which is a sleep in for me, I'm naturally waking up. I don't feel like I need to have that that light. But could you tell us how that light affects you when you're asleep?
Mm.
like what's happening in your body, because you're obviously asleep, so you know that light's on, but yep. something knows that light's on, your body knows that light's on.
So it basically just mimics a sunrise. So if you think about going to sleep,
yeah.
and if you're in a room where you have access to natural light,
yeah.
as the sun rises, you're going to wake up.
Yeah.
Yep. So even though your eyes are closed, you've still got your rods and cones in your eyes are still sensing things.
Okay.
And so, you know, if you close your eyes now, like, yes, it's dark, but you're going to be vaguely aware
yep.
that you're in a light room as opposed to a dark room. So that it'll simulate sunrise, and that basically tells me that it's time to get up.
The other thing, do you have it on a weekend?
Yeah, I do, because as painful as it is, but one of the other things that's really helpful is sticking to a regular routine.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
yeah, it's really, really is. So this idea of sleeping in on the weekend, like, I don't want to put shade on sleeping in the weekend and tell people not to do it. Absolutely not. But if you are definitely struggling with lower mood or flatter mood, one of the things that you might consider is trying to stick to that same time of getting up, absolutely trying to get early light. So literally going outside and getting a source of light. So I'm doing it by, what's it called, artificial means
yeah.
with the light yeah. waking up. But that, because what that does is it helps your body produce the correct amount of melatonin. So mm-hmm. if you're getting no light, it just starts to flow on with everything. Like you were talking about more earlier, Matt, like sleep. Sleep is key. You know,
yeah, it's so important.
And there's lots of things that you can do to tweak that and attend to it.
So what you're saying is, like, I look forward to a Saturday because generally I might sleep until 6 or 6.30, right?
Mm.
So what you're saying, but I'll wake up at 5, 5.30.
What time do you guys go to bed as well? Let's give context.
So I'm usually, like, a late night for me would be I'd be in bed by 10. That's a late night. But yeah. usually, like, 9.30, quarter.
Sleep by 10.30 kind of thing?
Yeah, sleep by 10.30. And yeah. I'm pretty good at falling asleep and staying asleep.
Yeah.
You know, kids sometimes have an impact on that. But what you're saying is you're better off being consistent for 7 days rather than going, here's my 5-day routine and then here's a 2-day routine.
Let's binge.
Yeah. If you are – so if you're having no mental health symptoms or signs, you don't have to attend to this at all. But if you notice that that's something that you slip into a flatter, lower, then that is one of the – and especially if your sleep starts to get disrupted, one of the quickest ways to get, or many ways, but this a really solid way to do it is to get up early at the same time so that you are tired at the end of the day so you then sleep properly. It's such a cycle.
You know, it's funny you say that. Like on the weekends, and I don't know if this is because I'm like an active person during the day and I'm pretty structured with what I do Monday to Friday. I'm always busy, I'm always achieving and doing things.
Yep.
On the weekend, if I say sleep till 7, I'll wake up flat, I'll wake up tired and it'll take me a long time to like kick into the day when I've slept that little bit longer or I've kind of come out of routine. Like, is that common?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have enough knowledge to explain like the deep dive physiology about what's going on. But I certainly understand that often when people are starting to – so if you start to stay up later and you start to sleep in, what the sleeping in does is it minimises the amount of that early light exposure that you need, and it's that early light exposure that's part of the whole entire cycle.
Okay, so what you're saying is there's a difference between early morning light and, say, midday light.
No, it's about the timing. So if you get light exposure early enough, that sets up your melatonin production correctly.
Okay.
So if you think about like the extreme is, let's say somebody games really late into the evening. So there's nothing wrong with gaming, cracking thing to do. The challenge becomes when we're getting lots of stimulated, so artificial light late. And we're also going later, so we sleep in, so we don't get exposed to that early sunrise. And then that sets off a whole cascade of difficulties with, because melatonin is your sleep hormone.
Okay.
Is that like the, on the iPhone, I know you can turn the yellow and blue light, because Nicole hates it when I have the yellow light on.
Yeah.
But it's like so much better for your eyes.
The best way to think about that is imagine if there was just a sunrise at in the middle of the night, that is just going to put you completely out of whack. So staring at a screen without the filter on is telling your mammal brain, oi, it's get up time. Like, this is light time.
It's also the vitamin D that I think that we don't, like, I supplement with vitamin D. I think that's something that also don't take that as medical advice. In winter, like, you're just not outside as much, and I'm in the office a lot of the time, and there's days where it's wet, it's raining, like today. I don't want to go outside and go for a walk in the middle of the day. Like, it's cold. I can deal with the cold. It's the wetness that sucks.
You know, one thing I'll say about that, and I know it's hard because the motivation's the harder bit, but tell me any time where you've like, oh, fuck, it's raining outside. Oh, I have to put the jacket on and you put your shoes on and you get the dog and you go outside. Tell me, has there ever been a time where you've got back from that walk and you've gone, oh, I wish I hadn't have gone?
0 out of 10 times.
Yeah, just put a rain jacket on.
So it's just, it's about getting it. And this is, and again, I feel like I'm in a good place now because I've got a really good routine. Like, I'm sleeping well, I'm exercising really regularly, you know, I'm having these really great connections with my workout friends, I'm eating well, you know, I'm showing up better to my family, and it's because I've got into that routine. And there's been times where it's been -2 in Warrandyte for the past couple of weeks here, and I've forced myself to get out of bed. I've put a beanie on, I've put skins on, I've put a jumper on. And not one time have I ever finished that workout and go, I wish I had stayed in bed, because it just sets you up for the day.
It's so hard, that first part, though. It is, like, mentally.
I just think, you know what, for me, and again, I know it's not all about me, but I know I can just talk about my own experience, but set yourself up so you're accountable. And I've got people coming to my house to train, so I have to get up, because if I don't get up, they're going to come into the driveway and there's not going to be any lights on, so they're going to be like, oh, fuck, where's Hamo?
I'm not as well hard as you, so I shift my exercise to indoors.
Yeah, okay.
So this morning happened to be yoga indoors.
Yep.
But if it's I'm a fair weather person, that's A-okay. I'll do seasonally appropriate activity or movement because that's what I'm good at. What about you, Matt?
I play footy. So
that's a good one. Interesting.
It's funny because I had a friend the other day. We're just chatting because we're catching up as a group of friends, and she's like, oh, it's wet, you'll be able to come today to, like, it's footy, will get cancelled. I was like, no, this is, like, part of it. Sometimes with, like, injuries, that's the big killer when you're trying to, and especially in winter when you get injured and it's like, oh, now what, I can't do anything, I'm stuck inside.
You know, that's a really probably good thing to talk about. I know it's not, wasn't on our agenda, but, like, we know that being physical, we know that exercise, and we know that, you know, all those things help us with our mental health and mental fitness. There's a barrier when you're injured.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, injuries suck.
Like, how do we, you know, okay, middle of winter, you've rolled your ankle, right?
I was in a moon boot for 4 weeks recently and it sucked. Like, I can't do it. Like, you just can't do anything.
Yeah, and I think there's a really big mental barrier to get over. Like, even though you've just hurt your foot, there's still so many other things that you can do.
That's right.
To help, you know, release those good hormones in your body. Like, you don't have to do squats or deadlifts or whatever.
I also couldn't ride a bike. I had to limit walking. I'd literally have to be off it. So it's like you do. It was probably not the most ideal injury to have.
So how do we get over that?
I just started playing again. I was like, fuck it.
One of the things you said mental fitness, another term that we like to use is mental flexibility.
Yeah.
Because when we've got some flexibility around things, we can problem solve a little bit differently. And so, Matt, for example, if I was working with you, we would talk about, well, what about boxing? What are some other things that you can do? A classic one that people really struggle with, if you've got a really hardcore runner, helping them get past, like, there's genuine grief. Like, when you've got an injury and you can't do what you want to do. So first of all, it's about acknowledging that part, which is, I notice that I'm feeling really sad that I can't run, or I'm feeling really worried that I might never get back to it. Like, it's, if we don't kind of address some of those things, that's really important. But then if we can start to come in with some flexibility around what's possible. So it might be, okay, for the next 6 weeks I will punch a bag, or I will
not lift those kinds of bags.
No,
I'm one of the people just put it all in the two hard bars. I was like, I just can't be bothered now.
So how do I deal with that?
Yeah.
Because it's so easy just to be like,
and in winter too,
I'm taking four
and,
weeks off.
And I reckon in winter would be, it's that extra layer of barrier that you're putting
It's like,
across.
Oh, like I'm just not going to go to training tonight. I could do stuff inside, but it's where it's cold. I'm inside. Why am I going to leave? Like it's being precious and you just, you have the choice. Like it's so easy just to jump in the car and you're there. Yeah. And once you're there, it's like, cool.
Yeah.
Or it's like, nah, I'm just going to watch TV.
Accountability partner.
Accountability partners are really good.
Accountability.
I've got 40 teammates that can hold me accountable too. So it's like it's just the lazy part is such an easy thing to get in a groove of, and I feel like it's once it's like this ball, once it goes and it starts moving, to like stop it is so hard.
Yeah. So I suppose if we wound it back, it might be for you, Matt, that you don't find that there are particularly detrimental effects for you if you kind of go into a bit of a slump.
Yeah, that's also a good point.
Yeah. I certainly, if I speak freely, I know for me that I've had some really tough winters.
Yeah.
I have a really great partner and we now start these strategies really early. So I've had great winters for, I would say, the last 5 or 6 years now that I actually start early. But for me, I came to the conclusion that the negative effects were something that I was not, it's no fun for anyone.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to start early to make changes. And as I often say, I mean, my God, if I'm not following the advice that I'm giving other people, like how hypocritical is that? So you just kind of understanding your own patterns, understand. Mm. Some people fly through winter, zero issue at all. But this is talking about those people who either subclinically or clinically experience difficulties. Because it's natural to ebb and flow through the seasons. It's a natural mammal thing to do.
I reckon there's a... Like I'm a pretty active person, right? Don't really catch me sitting on the couch much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are times in winter, and I was actually having a chat with this about someone we both know. She's very active as well and really struggles to sit still. Sometimes on the weekend we just wish it would rain because then we can't do anything outside and you feel really guilty and then you kind of have this like,
Guilt free.
There we go. Thanks, Julie. This is why you're the smartest person in the room right now. Like, sit on the couch with a bowl of popcorn and watch a movie because it's pissing with rain outside.
Yeah,
we can't do
anything else. Feels good though. And then you go get some like Ben and Jerry's really sugary ice cream, and you're like, oh, I might as well get the pack of Maltesers too. You just like smash it. Like, this is so good.
I'm currently doing a reasonably strict diet plan at the moment. So Ben, I'm not getting ice cream at the moment. So don't.
But that raises something interesting. So if like understanding that rest and recuperation is a really important thing. Yeah. So if every time that you sit down you're feeling guilty, we need to talk about that. We've got to work out how, I talk about your body as your tool and looking after that system. We need to talk about like what's going on there, that sitting down after a certain amount of time and stopping and doing something you enjoy is evoking feelings of guilt. We definitely want to talk about
this
that.
This is a really good point because I've got written here like, yeah, and I think we spoke about it before. It's like in some other animals, like they hibernate.
Mm.
And so it's, for them, it's okay just to stop and do nothing.
Yeah.
I think there's also a society now where you have to always be doing something. It's the next thing. It's the next activity, business venture. But it is okay to sometimes, to stop. Stop, like have that movie, TV series, and just, I'm not doing anything this weekend because we also need a chance to recover.
Yeah. I mean, I went away with the family not last weekend, but the weekend before, and it was amazing.
Where did you go?
We went down to Flinders. We went to the Peninsula Hot Springs. Went out for dinner, breakfast, lunch, like all of it. Like, admittedly, I did swing past a project that we're doing down there.
Of course.
I was in the area. But I came back from that weekend. I'm just like, I'm happy.
It's a good thing.
Like, I spent time with the family and Lucy.
Social connection.
And with that, do you think that, so it's also like, well, I know I love going, say, Europe or last year in Noosa for winter and coming back from that heat. Do you reckon there was something to do with the hot springs that is a bit warmer? You're in a bit of a warm pool.
Maybe. Yeah, I think it was new. And I think the other, like if we look at those other things that we talk about, connection. I was there with my kids and I could see how happy they were being in the hot springs. And, there's not often that the four of us, soon to be five of us, sit down together as a family and we're all doing the same thing. Because Berger's off doing that, Darcy's off doing that, me and Luce are trying to do this and I'm trying to do that. And it was awesome. It was a really nice moment just to slow down. And it was raining. So, you know, if we can bring that back to what we're talking about now and see these barriers of, well, we can't do these things because it's raining outside or it's cold. I tell you what, it was fucking cold going from pool to pool when we were at the hot spring, but we still did
it. It's almost the worst part. It's nice and warm and you're like, I can't get out because it's like that wind chill.
Yeah.
So I do want to loop it back to the workplace, though. Have you done anything with your team to try motivate in winter? Because I visually see not a drop off. There's 2 points to your IC with team that they start to get burnt out. It's that winter time.
Yeah.
And it's that... it's almost like that November, December, when it's that last crawl to the end of the year.
So, yeah, I do actually, and I think we've been doing it successfully for the past 2 years now, where in September, you know, you've broken the back of winter. You know, it's, you know, you're a Carlton supporter, so your footy team's not in the grand final.
Oh, that's like March. So you can plan as much as you need
to. So what we do is we take off that week in where the grand final holiday is.
Mm-hmm.
So we shut down company-wide for a week in that September.
Does that mean no one on your sites at all?
No one on our site, no.
Yeah, okay.
No one's on our site. You know, the only person that I make available is me. So if people have got, you know, conversations, they can come through me. So that's off the back of winter, you know, that's starting, weather's starting to get a little bit better and they're literally taking a week off to recharge. I haven't done anything that is in the middle of winter though, and I think that's probably important.
That's I'm doing that for the first time this year. So we do RDOs once a month. So I had the theory of like, well, you don't need an RDO in January. You don't need one in probably February because you've just started. Then December, we don't need one because we've got Christmas. So there's three that you instantly gain.
Mm.
I've then gone, well, if we pull one into one of the months in the year, I now have four. Let's rob another month. And now I've got the five. So we're going to have the middle of July off. We're just going to have everyone is completely shut down company-wide.
Interesting.
Because you've already got the RDOs and there's 3 months of the year that are just like, well, we kind of had a big break.
I'm a lot more generous than that. I've just given my team 5 weeks.
So you just do a 5 week.
Yep. Did you run that by them? Like, were they? It sounds like a great idea.
We actually had a, it's a good idea. We had a discussion and sometimes the challenge I have is you've kind of, change is always difficult.
Yeah.
So if you're going from say your 7 to 3:30, pushing that for some people is they would rather just finish at 3:30 and just that's their day. Or some are like, well, I've already made the drive here. What's the extra half hour to get that time off?
So you go 7 to 4?
Yeah, 7 to 3:45 because they wanted, I think that's what, I actually don't know. But I'm pretty sure that's my team too because they also wanted to extend their smoko by another 15. So I just gave them the full flexibility. Like that's on them to make decide what times they want to start. As long as they do their 8 hours of work.
Yep.
How they function that. If they wanted to do 8 to 5, I couldn't care.
Yeah.
It's just how we do this is like it's we – they're the ones on site. Sometimes I don't even see them in the week.
Do you think there's something in that, Julie, about bringing the decision-making into that group scenario rather than you say – this is how we're doing it, actually bringing them into solving the problem?
Most definitely, because if you want buy-in, getting others to be involved in the decision-making is really important. I mean, obviously there are, you know, as you run a business, you've got to make calls and things have to happen for a certain reason. But if there's ever any capacity to bring your team in to help plan, to help make decisions like this, because that was my question. I was imagining, like, some people would just be going, that is absolutely spectacular. And then I was thinking other people, their RDOs every month is when they, I don't know, go to the dentist or do the whatevers. And But you're also saying you give them the flexibility to go get your 8 hours in, do it however you like within like a reasonable.
You've got to be fair. Like it's hard. Like, and my team are really good at booking the appointment time of like 3:30 or 4 o'clock if it's for a dentist. Like, yeah, I've had the person, it's like, oh, I can only book it like 1 p.m. and I'll be done for the day, or 9 a.m. or and I understand sometimes if you need to get in, you need to get in. Like, I have no problem with that, and we will always be super flexible. But I did just, it wasn't pushed on them, but I did suggest that, hey, we should think about this differently. I think we need to think left and right here, because from a selfish point of view, like, that's the time when people just start calling in sick because they just can't be bothered for a day. So what if I gave them a whole week? They can just stop and relax. I've actually encouraged them to go away and put their actual annual leave onto it. I know that when every time that I go to Europe or a summer holiday, like, that's the time I'm going. So you've already got a week. Like, add on 2 weeks and you now I've got your three and you're away. I know one of my team is in, he's in Europe for 6 weeks at that time of the year. Like, go for it. I know it comes back because once they come back, they're way more energized and it's just like they're fresh again.
Yeah.
It's also, our brains really like something to look forward to. So sometimes it's this idea of, you know, like if we've got to trudge all our way through winter just hanging out for our Christmas holidays, it's not a cool thing to do to your brain. But if we've got something to look forward to, that's something that's a really sound thing.
Well, so I don't know if you've got the answer to this, Julie, but if we're talking about the winter blues and we're talking about your brain likes, our mammal brain likes predictability, you know, if we're training it to do something, if we're having a holiday to Samoa for 10 days in the middle of July, and I'm just reminiscing about this because I can't go this year because I'm having another kid.
I reckon you could ask Lucy if you just popped over for a week.
Do you know what the old Hamish probably would have?
Just booked it.
This is the new Hamish, so this is not happening. So, you know, I'm in the middle of winter, bang, I'm away for 10 days. And then I'm coming back and now it's shitty winter again. You know, and I've got that sort of post-holiday slump. Like, are you better off not going or you're, no.
You need to go.
You definitely need to go.
Okay.
Yep. So if we look slightly differently, but if we look at burnout, one of the ways, and you can burn out on 80 hours a week or 20 hours a week.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not about the number of hours that you're doing, but things like regular breaks are really, really important for burnout. It's that there's a couple of things. You kind of take yourself out of your environment and sometimes you can think more clearly. You actually have a break from things. But, yeah, regular holidays. I can't remember if I've told this story before and I've asked for permission to tell this, but I remember somebody that I worked with and they would come in for what I call episodes of care. So they'd come in, you know, every couple of years. We would work on the thing that was the problem and off they'd go. And it was this one time where just all the things that we normally did just were not working for this particular person. And then I asked them how long it was since they'd had their last holiday. 18 months. Oh, booked a holiday. I haven't seen them again. Yep. Because over these episodes of care, we were getting better and better at kind of mining their strengths, working out what works for them, putting all those things in place. And often people are just stepping back in to go, oh, yep, I just need a, you know, grease and an oil change to get back in touch with the things that we know that work. But that was a really good lesson for me and for them. So I'm always asking about holidays, what's possible.
I think holiday, though, you need to get interstate because I think it's just you, even if you're like 3 hours away, I feel like if your team around, they're still like, oh, they're just there. Sometimes I have to get away. I always do overseas.
There's a part of me that agrees with that, but then, you know, if I'm going back to that little weekend getaway I did with Luce, and like I'm still thinking about that break really fondly. Like I left work at 1 o'clock on the Friday and I had like 2.5 days of, you know, my phone was on do not disturb, bang. Yeah,
nice. You know, like, but committing financial situations, like why can't you do that more often?
You know, we literally had the conversation while we were away. We used to be so good at it.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, and I'm not making any excuses, we've just bought this beautiful property and I enjoy working on that. Yeah. So there's all these other conflicting things that come into life where...
Kids, yeah.
It's a lot easier not to do that shit when you've got kids.
Totally, and that's one thing, like I'm about to go through that now and there's some things that I'm trying to put in place and ideas that I have around, and I know it's getting away from the winter blues, but trying to fix my time to some extent. I just think, like I say, going interstate is like, we should be encouraging you to go do that weekend trip in Victoria or because we are in Victoria, like that 3 hour drive on the weekend, finish up early on a Friday, go come back Sunday. But I feel it's that big break, like especially in winter. I know if you like skiing, go for it, but go get that sun.
Yeah.
Go north.
It just reminded me, I got a couple of my supervisors, you know, they obviously have a little bit more responsibility on site. There's a lot that more that falls onto their shoulders. And I've noticed, particularly one of them, he's like, oh, you know, there's never a good time to take a break, so I don't break it. No, and I'm just like, yeah, of course there's not, but what? Just book it in and then just make it happen.
Absolutely.
Like, have you got some advice around...
good question.
Advice around how you can encourage your team to do that, no matter like what's on at work, someone can always step in and pick up that, or you manage the expectation with the clients, the trades, the other employees that you're not going to be there.
Yeah.
Like what's some other things that we can do to encourage our team members to address their winter blues?
I think it's going to depend a little bit on the person. And so sometimes you've got team members where you have to kind of watch how much holiday time they're clocking up and have a really, you know, direct and clear conversation with them in that it's not healthy for you. So if you're, you know, if you've got 4, 5, 6 weeks and you're banking them up, you're not going to perform well and you actually need to encourage that person to take time off. We do some simple things like we don't finish our current holiday without starting to plan the next one, because while you're on the actual holiday, you remember why you do it, and all of those, oh, I can't leave because it's too busy, blah, 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 yeah. You're actually in the moment where you're going, oh, my God, this is why I do this. So we, at the very least, book our next one. Or we start. We
so you said you're going to Vietnam. Where's the next one now?
The next one after Vietnam?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the one after that, we're doing – so I'm taking off all of January.
Yeah.
And we're doing a Northern New South Wales coast camping trip.
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, that's a solid one.
I tested you there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Throw you right under the bus.
But hang on a minute. So, but they haven't had the Vietnam holiday yet.
So she said that once she's already planned one, they start to plan the next.
So we started planning next January after last January, where it was like a sun beach holiday with no sprains and no stuff. I mean, I've still got some work to do that I have to do.
Yeah.
So I've got to pay people.
So I don't have anything planned. Do you have anything?
Yeah. So we're really fortunate. We've got a family house in Batemans Bay, so we've got September booked, and we've also got 10 days in over Christmas up there as well.
Yeah, lovely.
So about you,
Matt? Nothing. So we've got to finish our house, which should be around October-ish, plus the baby. So we get a holiday going to the new house.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Take some time.
But I will, pending everything goes well, we will go away somewhere warmer between October to December. I'll just take a week. I might even take two and work up there for a week.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get away. I don't have a problem with that, just to get some warmer months.
Really hoping this comment doesn't come across arrogant or thinking that I'm elevated above anyone that works within my business or you know, bosses or business owners and employees. The reality is, if the business owner can take time off, the employees can take time.
That's
absolutely.
Because, you know, believe me when I say there is an endless list of jobs that we need to do when we're business owners, and we can still take time off. And I know for me it's really important that my team take time off. So when they come back, they are energised. And I always say to them, family first and take holidays.
I wonder if we might just leave with some strategies to try and deal with.
Yep,
I thought we were going to do like another card or something.
So if we talk about if we are kind of feeling that flat slump, or we know that that's something that happens through winter. So we've talked about getting light early, keeping moving, and it can be anything. So you can jump up and down, do star jumps inside. That's super fine. We talked about sticking to routine, which is really important. The other thing is to start to watch your inner talk. So you might notice that you start to get a bit flatter, a bit more negative, and there might be things that you can start to kind of notice with your talk. And, you know, my red-hot favourite, social connection. Because, again, we tend to hibernate, so we don't see people as much.
I don't want to extend this too much, but social connection is not social media.
No.
Because I feel like that is so easy to get to sit on the couch. Mm. I'm going to chat to my friends through an app.
In the reels, or at least on the videos, is good. You know, it's
in not reels as in Instagram reels, like in real life.
In the real life,
I was like, I'm now confused. IRL.
IRL.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm too old to be saying that crap.
No, you're not. You're hip.
I think that's a really important one. Getting in front of people.
Yeah.
So important. And it does. It makes that social connection on a weekend, breaking away from work, the standard family life, and just being like, how's everyone else doing? Mm. It does make a huge difference.
Because that thing with footy that you were talking about, Matt, before, you know, I'm sitting there and we were just having a chuckle because it's outside, it's with other people, and it's moving around. So what that might look like in somebody else's life.
I'm 35, 36 next week. I don't know why I still do it, but there's the reason why is it's our training on a Wednesday, which is today, and we go and have dinner and sit around together, just have a chat, and it's really funny that the conversations change from like training used to be like everyone looks forward more to training than the games because it's the social connection sitting around. And even as we get older, we've talked about already the group of us are quite tight. We've played together for a long time. It's like let's keep training in the future. So
I've just written down here alcohol.
Uh-huh.
In your experience, do you see that becomes a comfort during winter? I know, you know, when summer comes around, you're outside barbecues, beers and all that kind of stuff, but you can also see I guess people are less motivated, their moods are down, and they're like, oh, well, I'll have a beer, I'll have a glass of wine or whatever. Like, do you see like a spike in that? And
yeah, that can definitely be a factor, because if you think, again, coming back to that mammal brain that's not feeling great, so if you're feeling flat, your brain is like always coming up with scenarios and solutions. And a solution is, because booze is euphoric, it gives you really quick access to carbohydrates, so it's energy immediately. So your brain's not stupid. It just goes, oh, I don't feel good. What can I do?
I never thought about alcohol as like a source of carbohydrates.
It's got a high I know
it does, but
energy. Should I say energy?
I mean, because if you think about physiologically, your body like needs carbohydrates to do
that's
what it.
Yeah, cravings, yeah,
interesting.
And again, so it is thinking about what shifts or changes in that flatter lower period, and what are some things that you might want to look out for.
You know, and I can attest that if you're moving more, you're drinking less.
Yeah.
Let's leave that there.
Yeah. Thanks Julie.